taking steps to follow God and seek for deliverance, seek for any blessing or any victory, things may turn out worse than what you thought. Remember, Jairus, who came to Jesus, that the child will not die but live. On the way, the child died. Right? Jesus said, only believe. Now, let me now deal with something that's very, very important. That story is a picture that, listen to this, I want you to listen, don't let anything distract you. This is important. This is so vital. It means that devil will stage a comeback. Please get that. I grew up, just like you too, in this culture. You go to church, sometimes they'll tell you, don't share your testimony. Thinking that when you share your testimony, some bad things will come after that, right? And some places, when you finish sharing testimony, they say, the blood. You cover that testimony with the blood of Jesus, you know? They don't know what's going on. They just don't know. Just something is happening. Then some other places, like my native people, Ogunta Sekone, Borimo. Have you heard before? So it sounds all that like that. But let's go to our Bible. Let's hear from Jesus. Matthew 12, verse 43. I want you to mark this place in your Bible. It's so important. Jesus was giving a story here, which is a fact. When an unclean spirit, who can answer that? What's an unclean spirit? Bad devil, am I right? I mean, it's not of God. An unclean spirit means whatever is of the devil. So we can put sin, sickness, financial issues, we can put them there. This spirit, that one who oppresses. When an unclean spirit goes out of a man, it goes through what? Dry places, seeking rest, and finding none. Please, pay attention. When a bad habit, when an evil spirit, when a sickness, when a disease, when a problem, when an attack leaves a man, he goes through dry places, seeking rest and finding hope. So this spirit today, they roam around. Look at next verse. And then he says, take a look. Then he says, I will return to my house and from which I came. So see, that spirit had adopted that issue as his own house. And when he comes, he finds it empty, swept, and put in order. So, anytime you get something evil off yourself, what is causing it is an evil spirit, an unclean spirit. And it'll go, but they don't find rest. That's why they want to tamper with our lives. They are useless out there. So they want to come, and when they are ejected, they come back. They come check. And when it comes, he finds it what? So they have done a good job on the person. It's empty, it's swept, and put in order. You see, that spirit living had given room to emptiness and clean and put in order. But that is also the problem. Because when they get that out of the person, that issue out, that spirit out, if it's left empty, look at next verse. Then he goes and takes with him seven other spirits, more wicked. Let me use our own language, wickeder. Wicked, wickeder, wickedest. Seven other spirits, more wicked than himself. And they enter and dwell there. Listen, and the last state of that man is worse than the first. So it's a little bit to this wicked generation. Now, I want you to listen to this. This is vitally important. Whatever anybody dislodges in your life, whatever you use your faith to accomplish victory in, devil will stage a comeback. Pastor Olamide, I didn't say so. Jesus said so. They come back. Jesus himself, when the devil came to him, he said, it is written. The devil came again. He said, it is written also. The devil came again. Said it's written, depart from me. And the devil left. You thought he left permanently. Let me show you what happened. Look for. We can look, right? Look for. verse 13. Interesting. Take a look. Now, when the devil had ended every temptation, you think it's finished? He departed from him until a moment of another opportunity. This is what Christians don't get. Sometimes, people are worse off when you help them. They're not helping them at all. See, if you are managing in your village, you have a bed there, you have water, and you are enjoying yourself, you're all right. If you feel bad, you don't feel too badly. But if I take you to Lagos to VI or Banana Island for 3 months, and I return back to your village, what will happen? Or to a village that is the own villager, you know, villagers. You know, how will you feel? So, I want you to know that evil spirits, whatever they do, whatever situation that is bad, they want to stage a comeback. Sickness, disease, circumstances that we don't want, that God help us take authority over, they come back. And it's now on our neck to know what to do that time. You know, listen to this. This is vitally important. When I was coming, I was thinking about this. Why does the devil stage a comeback? Listen, everybody. He knows that if he can keep on doing that to you over and over and over and over again. All right. Staging a comeback. They put it off before. I think it's somewhere at the back here. I think it's generator that is causing that trouble. We have some problem with our inverter. All right. I think it's this one here. Can you just pause a little bit so that they can sort it out? And tell them to put on the bigger generator, the white one. We're using the smallest one, trying to be economical. All right. Okay. All right. Are we okay now? Or you put it off? Okay. All right. Thank you. They get it back there again. Relax. We are in church. Where did I stop? Huh? I'm not hearing you. Why? All right. This is the reason why. Now, he believes that even though he may not be able to defeat you, but you are going to get weary and surrender. Let me give an example. The strongest man under the Old Testament was who? Samson. And then this beautiful girl who had no strength came and asked him, "Tell me your power secret." And he started deceiving her. After a while, the strongest man got weary. Let's go and see that. Judges 16. It's devil strategy. All right. Are we all right now? All right. Judges 16. Is it 16 or 17? We'll find out. Hallelujah. Are we there? Judges 16:16. Take a look. I hope they'll come back. Don't worry, they're changing source of power. Can you look at the screen? And it came, I said, come on. And it came to pass when she pestered him daily with her words and pressed him so that his soul was vexed to death. See that? So the devil knows that if he keep pestering us and pressing us, and you get to a point, you can't be really bad, you're just tired. And when you're tired, you surrender. Look at the next verse. So then he told her all his heart. So he told her his secret. Now, this lady was not having equal strength with Samson. But by her pestering and telling her, you are not going anywhere. You are not going anywhere. Look at your life. You're just useless. You've done this again. You've done this again. Look at your life. When are you going to do well? When are you going to do well? He won't let you remember the testimonies of God in time past. How God has, you see, you know, it's the same thing. You go back to the same thing again. I prayed before. You know, see, you have to learn to stand your ground. So Jesus gave us two warnings in the book of Revelation. Let's go down there. Chapter 2, 25, Revelation. Hallelujah. Satan loves to wear us out. He knows that Christ is capable, but Jesus needs you to join with him. And if you can wear out your own agreement, it's going to just have the way. Look at verse 25. But hold fast what you have till I come. And what do you have more than anything else? You have the victory, praise God. You have faith. This is your victory. Next chapter, verse 11. I hope I'm correct. Behold, I'm coming quickly. Do what? Hold fast what you have, that no one may take your crown. So, sometimes when you get off, maybe you are having some problem with depression or any kind of thing that is you don't like, that's evil, that's bad, sickness, disease, stuff like that. And somebody pray for you and you get it. You see, it's just not enough to get that thing out of you. We have to also get you into a place where you can hold what you have received now, so that when that devil stage come back, it can't take away from you. This is where we miss it. That's why I say this. How many of you have been this town for a while? Remember one madman called Shine, is it Shina now? That they were in a crusade, Abekuta, Pastor Ayo, said that for. Came for a crusade at Ebenkuti. Is that? Yeah. And everybody saw this man, madness was gone. And after he left town, whoa, the thing came back. It simply means this. This is so important. Thinking that somebody will do it for you will not last you for a long time. Why? Because even if they do it for you, if you never develop a kind of a personal strength, when the enemy comes and they are no longer there, he will snatch it away from you. I want to give some sense. Back to Matthew 12. Let's round up this issue. When the devil said they come back, what do we do? They did a study in America among healing evangelists, that people that pray for people to get healed. You know what they find out? They came to see that after they prayed, they minister to them, and they get healed. After anything, sometimes people get up from the wheelchair, walk off, the pains will stop, arthritis will go. Usually between 4 and 6 weeks, they just come back. I was watching the testimony of an elderly man that I think he had double hernias and he was not hearing. So he's using a stick. I hope you're listening. So he came to the meeting with his daughter who helped, you know, they had to use hearing aid and they scream to get him. And this pastor, this evangelist, got him healed. He dropped his cane. The hernia was off. And he could hear even a clock ticking beside him. And he would come to the meeting. I think about, they were still in the meeting because this man of God would do meeting for 6, 4, 8 weeks. People can release it. So he said about 4 weeks into it, one day he saw the man coming in. And back with his cane. So he was wondering. Then the man of God, because he was staying there for about 6 or 4 weeks, 8 weeks, he was working on them. So he said, Papa, what happened? He said, they had to get daughter beside him, couldn't hear anymore. He got healed from hearing, you know, hearing. They had to scream to him and say, what happened? He said, he could hear, he could walk. So one day he was going out and he just had his hearing gone off. 5 minutes, he came back. Gone off. Came back 5 minutes later. He said, maybe something just wrong. So he went in again and went on. Then secondly, the same spot. Went off like that again. Then he went for about 2 hours. Thereabout. Then, you know, they call him, Then 5 days later, he just gone for about almost the whole day. He come back. It got to a point where you're not hearing anymore. Next thing, he got up in the morning, he pulled out his stick. You know, that kind of gradual thing. That happens in our finances too. You know, you just get things going down. After a while, it starts just going down like that. And, you know, just before you know it now, you're borrowing from the apps. You know, it's just that start cumulatively. So what do you do? This is the answer. Then he says, I will return to my house from which I came. That demon, that thing want to return back there. Bad things like to return. Do you know that press people look out for bad news? Sorry, if you're a journalist, forgive me. In fact, bad news increase their ratings. That's why you see all of them. As in, Punch will come, Guardian will come, Press will come, Wetters will come. I remember. That's of old. One day was reading King James, talking about the woman of the issue of blood. And he says, she could not, because of the press, she could not get to Jesus. He said, the press will keep you from Jesus. You know, that's the type of thing, you know, kind of thing. All kinds of news you are hearing, just keep you away, kind of thing. So, I will return to my house from which I came. Devil feels that you are not going anywhere. He's the number one doubter. He doesn't believe that you're going to do well in life. You're not going to carry. You just believe that thing won't happen for you. And when he comes, he finds it empty, swept, and put in order. God has put things together for you. But now, there's one word there. Bellumi, help me capitalize the word empty. That's the word. That's the word. You see, you just can't get away with Christian blessings by not doing what you need to do. That's why sometimes church is dangerous. You see, if you come to church, devil knows you come here. Are you hearing me? It's demons know you come here. And they want to see that you don't do well, so that you will not be a good testimony. So you just not know that. Pastor, why now? It's normal now. You go to football, you are on the other team, I'm on this team. I'm there to mark you. I'm not going to be nice to you. Huh? It's simple as that too. So the devil knows that the more he can make you miserable, the more he'll make God unhappy, that his work is not finished. So we must do something. We must do something. We must get ourselves filled. You know what I just said? We must get ourselves filled about that matter. And two things will fill us. You know, one day, I was in a church talking about this. It was a convention of a church. I want to show you what happened that day. Can you reduce the volume here? This volume is too much on my stage over here. Okay, thank you. Okay, I'll come back. I just want to pick this. You know, I got to that church. This is too loud. Okay, let's go back here. I got to that church, and I was talking about this. And I said, you know what? I said, the anointing oil won't fill you. This is physical oil. Your inside is not physical. That thing you are dealing with is not physical. You know, the Geo, if I tell you his name, all of you know him in town here. When I finished, I didn't want to go for that conference before. He begged me to come. When I finished, he said, Reverend T, you said you won't come. These people here, they want to kill me. Talking about church members, not you. You don't want to kill me. You know, he said, they want to kill me. He said, somebody, I will struggle on them, get that thing off them, maybe a demon or something. And second day, the person will come back and say, Pastor, anointing you, Tony. I mean, everything is back. And they will come back to test your own inner resolve and responsibility of your own life. And usually they will start at two levels, with thoughts and circumstances. It's thought that we start with. Look at this. You just buy like that. Eh? Thoughts start coming in. What about this? What about that? You see, one of the things you have to learn is to know that thoughts are bigger than what you think. Not just your own head. I may have to come back to this later. So let's talk about that for a few minutes. You have to fill yourself with two things. You fill yourself with the Word of God and fill yourself with the Spirit of God. Beautiful. No matter what God has helped you with, no matter escape you have gotten, no matter what has left you that is bad, if you don't want them to return back and get worse than that, you have to have something filling it up. If I fill up this bottle, nothing else can enter there. Am I right? If I don't fill it quite well, it won't do. So as a believer, I must constantly fill myself. First one, let's look at your Bible. It says it in this way. Let's go and see it. We're going to look at it from almost the same thing. Let's go. Chapter 3, Colossians, verse 16. And I have to start stopping. So we can go to our subject today. Hallelujah. 3. You know, I say this again and again. Your greatest asset in church is your hearing. If you don't hear, you're going to lose what you are even having. When you come to church and you don't listen attentively, what happens is that it won't enter into you. Water, food enters through here, but that does not go to your spirit. What goes to your spirit goes through here. Your spirit is a person of word. So words affect your spirit. So if you don't hear well, boy, look at that verse. Let the word of Christ dwell in you. How? Richly in all wisdom. See that? Let the word of Christ dwell. So you have to let the word of God dwell with you in that particular area. There was a man that was healed from paralysis. He had best of spirit given up on him. But he was healed. You know what he said? He said, no day ever pass that he will not put something about words of healing in his heart. You know what I do myself? I put the word of God weekly, arranged it for my family, for my finance. You don't know how much devil can overtake your family and your marriage. So if you put the word of God in there, there'll be no space for it to take over. Praise God. So let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. That's how, first of all, to counteract Satan's comeback. Second one, Ephesians 5. Verse 18. And do not be drunk with wine, which is dissipation, but be filled with who? Okay, did you hear that? So I said, your inside, the only way you can stop the emptiness that will open the door for the devil. You see, whatever God does in your life, Satan will stage a comeback. I used to give this example. My time is really up. You know, someone's having a challenge, an issue in his life. Devil is festering it. He goes to his pastor. They pray. It's not easily dislodged. Let me back off a little bit. If something leaves you that is bad, if you don't do the right thing and that thing comes back, it comes back worse. It will take more. That man I talked about, that hearing aid, it took the pastor over almost an hour to get him back to his shape. Before, it was instant. You see, those demons know, they come back with seven times worse and entrench themselves. They're not stupid either. Don't believe all those Christian drama. I see the devil like that. They are smart devils. I would say his wisdom was coming from the beginning. So, What I'm saying to you in essence is this. Whatever is coming will come at you, but when you are empty inside, it will just come over and take over and hold yourself, hold you tight. But if you start filling yourself with the Spirit and with the Word of God, that will keep you safe and sound. But nobody can keep you safe. Nobody. Nobody except you. The only way you can keep you safe. Pastor, why do you say so? 1 John 5. Verse 18. Wow, glory to Jesus. We know that, look at this verse. It's in the Bible, but we don't see it. I wonder why sometimes we just get confused. We know that whoever is born of God does not sin, but he who has been born of God, he who has been born of God, how many of you are born of God over here? Keeps himself. Who keeps who? I know God keeps you, but you have to keep yourself in the love of God. And the wicked one does not touch him. Together, you learn to keep yourself. Jude said, keep yourself in the love of God, looking for his mercy. So how do you keep yourself? You keep yourself getting filled. Filled with the Word of God and filled with the Spirit of God. How do you get filled with the Word of God? You read it. You meditate there. And how do you get filled with the Spirit of God? You worship God and pray. The more you worship God, the more you are filled with the Spirit. The more you read the Bible, the more you are filled with the Word of God. So the Word of God and the Spirit of God will be your guard against the devil staging a comeback in your life. Things are going to get back. I'm not cursing you. Jesus said so. What has left may want to come back, but you have to put your feet down. But you can't put your feet down if you're not that so strong. That's why Paul said, finally, my brethren, do what? Be strong. So let's close with this. 2:25 Revelation again. Hold fast what you have till I come. Hold fast what you have. Hold it fast. You have health, you have healing, you have help, you have miracle, you have victory, you have the blessing. Hold it fast. Don't be casual with it. You know, years ago, on a lighter mood, somebody sang a song, Okonwolo Deo Tojutire. Have you heard before? Blessing 1,000 Tojutire. Just keep it. So you have to learn how to do that and hold it fast. And he warned us again, 3 verse 11, that's in Revelation 3 verse 11. Hold fast what you have till I come, that no one may take your crown. What you have worked for, what you have labored for, that no one will take it. Let's close this chapter. It's been wonderful talking about this. But I want to give you a verse that you close this one. Let's clinch it with 2 John. I know you have heard of 3 John and 1 John. Let's do the 2 John. Wow. I like this. Verse 8. Look to yourselves. Who says you do? Look to yourselves that we do not lose those things we worked for. But I may receive what? A full reward. You know what? I spend more time doing this than attending to other things in my life. I have to stay up to par or else everything else will fall. I must live a life of being filled with the Word and with the Spirit. Because things come to all of us. But when we are filled with the Word and filled with the Spirit, you can challenge it. Are we blessed today? So that's first part. You know, this first part take all the time, you know. So we're talking about how to resist devil's comeback. And he'll come back. He says, he's gone out, he'll look around looking for where to stay. He said, my house. And then he'll come sweat, clean, and order. He brings 7 times other worse spirits. He'll do that. Now, people that go to receive from God, come to church, and they're not serious. In fact, the best advice is that don't even come to take things from God. Because if you do, the devil will come back, beat you so badly that it will take 7 times worse than what you got before. But we don't see that. We just say, God bless you. Am I right? But in reality, that's what happens. Clear? Now tell yourself, I will hold fast whatever I have. Tell yourself, I have the victory. I have the blessing. I have the glory of God in my life. I will never let them go. Rather, I will be strong, filled with the word of God and filled with the spirit of God. I'll be more prayerful. I will worship God more and I will meditate in the word of God. Amen. Can we clap our hands for Jesus? Okay, let's get into the word of God. We have finished the first part. Is Sister Kemi around? Okay. I'm waiting for a part. Maybe we will. Let's go to John 14, where we are. We don't know where we're going to leave for John 14, but I hope we will leave it next Tuesdays. I hope so. John 14. It's so rich. These are believer stuff. You know, believers are not being helped. There's too much talk about ministers, pastors, leaders. But honestly, Bible doesn't talk much about it. Talk about believers. The best person in the world is a firm-footed believer. Hallelujah. To cross to eternity of everlasting life, it says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only, that whosoever believes. So the believer is the key here. And these are the stuff. It bugs me too much when I see people discussing about all kinds of things about church and stuff. But people should come over here. When you leave this place, you should be better off. Am I right? That's where it should be. It shouldn't be that the pastor is, we are happy with the pastor. But no, we should be happy with our lives. So let's talk about Jesus when he was living here. The Christian faith is not more of physical sight. Hear what I have to say now. The Christian faith that depends too much on what you see and what you touch will not help you go very far. You know, one time it was about anointing oil. Remember? Now, it has come down. Because it has to go down. Physical things won't last. It's temporary. Praise God. One time, this building was fantastic. Now, it's part of us. Hallelujah. Some of us will be happier to come over here and see it bigger than this. So, that, you must not let the physical life. And the only way to dominate over the physical is to step out of it. For instance, if you are in a class, if you don't study more, you won't go beyond your classmate. Am I right? So it's the same way. As a Christian, I want to challenge you today to start, for me personally, this is my best time, is to be in the word of God to keep me going as a believer, not as a minister. So John 14, John 13, John 14, John 15, John 16, was Jesus sitting down with us, knowing that he was going away? I will not have the benefit of sight and physical sitting with us. So he started giving us certain things that could be. For me personally, I believe that those three or four chapters, they were one of the best legacies of Jesus. Let's go to John 14. As a Christian, you're not left here by yourself. Yeah, Christ has gone to heaven, but he didn't leave us alone to ourselves. In fact, this is what he says we should actually do. Take a look at verse 12 again. We read it last time. Verily, verily, I say to you, he who believes in me, he'll go and hide till I come. No, the works that I do, he will do also. And greater works than this, he will do because I go to my Father. So, Christ is expecting us to do things with our lives. Praise God. To walk to some certain walks with our life, not just to pass through this life. In fact, we are made for that. We are made for good works. So, to do that in this kind of environment that is tough, is getting unyielding, life is difficult, to do that, we must have some facilities. And he gave us three facilities. He gave us his name. Look at next verse. And whatever you ask in my name, that I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. So for us to be able to match the level of Jesus, we must have his kind of authority. Then he said again, next verse, if you ask anything in my name, I'll do it. And somebody said, Pastor, what does that mean? That's what we are exploring. to ask in his name. Then, after saying his name, next verse says, if you love me, keep my commandment. The next treasure he gave to us was his commandment or his word. So number one, his name. Number two, his word. Then number three, look at next verse. And I will pray the Father, and he'll give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever. So we have these three triangle. Yoruba says, Arometa kundabeno. Have you heard before? These are the arometa of Christianity. There's the name of Jesus. There is the words of Jesus. There's the spirit, our helper. With this, we will balance. With this, we'll find our way through life. Are you here with me? Are you here with me? Now, we don't have Jesus physically present. In fact, he said it's better for him to go away physically because physical will not benefit us as much. Look at John 16. John 16. Verse 5. But now, I go away to him who sent me. And none of you ask me, where are you going? Next verse. But because I've said these things to you, sorrow has filled your heart. Next verse, wonder of all wonders. Nevertheless, I tell you a lie. No, it's the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away. Let's be honest here. Let's be honest. No liars will go to hell. Let's be honest. How many of you have to have Jesus stay with you in your house? Just come stay in their home, you know, take care of things, you know, beat up the Pharisees for you, go to work, clear the road for you. Everybody, you want to have Jesus like that? All of us, me too, you know. But I have to believe the master here. He said, that I go away. For if I do not go away, the helper will not come to you. So it seems to me that the helper with you will be far better than Jesus with us. Huh? Now, this is what convinced me. See, when Jesus was here, those apostles were something else. I mean, they were fighting among themselves. I mean, can you imagine a whole apostle carrying a dagger? I mean, coming to church with a knife. Can you imagine? Salah would do that. One of them was stealing money, and they have all kinds of problems. And after Jesus left, they just seemed to straighten up. Have you noticed that? They were just better off. Of course, they have some stumbling, but they were the apostles that touching. Today we have their books and letters. So Jesus' absence favored them more. You know, oh my, I'm in trouble again. You know, today, people say, let's seek the presence of God, the presence of God, the presence of God. And when I was growing up, it was difficult. Where is the presence of God? Like one of my friends in town said, okay, you said we should see the face of God. What about his feet? You know, they just want to make it physical. You want to see the presence of God. You will go before the Lord. Where is he? An altar. Come to church, around the altar. It's not altar at all. This platform. I wish it's altar where we offer animals. I'll be taking all the goats home. There's nothing of course because about this place. There's nothing of course. You know all those things we do, you don't get to one another. It's not like any piece of land was anywhere. It's not there, it's in us. Clap your hands for Jesus. It's not there, it's in us. It's in us. So send the helper. Praise God. Okay. So we have the name. Just start talking about this. How do we live as Christians? How do we live as his people? It's going away. Now, let's look at, I have to speed up because of time. So, if you have not, you've been coming for the first time, please bear with us. We'll talk about the name extensively. And then we'll talk about, after having the name of Jesus, that's not enough. Are you hearing me? I can lend you my clothes, but if you don't know me, when they begin to engage you, when you wear my clothes, you won't know what to do. You won't know what to say. Am I making some sense? For instance, maybe you are the minister for something, commissioner for something. You can't go to a program. Somebody is sent on your behalf. It goes in your name. And he will give you, that man will give you a speech. You go down there and read the speech. The trouble is that after the speech, they start asking you questions. There'll be trouble because you're not familiar with him. So, wonder of all wonders, we can take the name of Jesus and do miracles and don't know him. He doesn't know us, rather. We are not familiar. That's in Matthew 7. Let's read it again. That's That's why they think that we are all fake today. They think we are all fake. Because Pastor, you know, say miracle now. We say, the body was sort of anointing one begon, but can you see what's happening? We don't know what's saying. That's where our problem is. We equate anointing to closeness with God or intimacy. Look at Matthew 7, verse 22. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have you not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name? Oh, yeah, they did. In fact, if you read Bible Amplified, it's amazing. Let's read Amplified Bible. You'll be blown out of water. You know, come and see. Give us Amplified. Follow me. Many will say to me on that day when I judge them, Lord, Lord, is that? No. Message Bible, sorry. Message Bible. Is that Amplified? Okay. I can see it now. At the final judgment, thousands strutting up to me and say, Master, we preach the message. We bash the demons. Our God-sponsored project had everyone talking. Sounds like today's churches, am I right? God-sponsored project. Next verse. And do you know what I'm going to say? You missed the boat. All you did was use me to make yourself important. That scared me those days, man. All you did was use me to make yourself important so you can get a high chair to sit on. You don't impress me one bit. You're out of here. That's scary. Now, let's not go too far. Let's come to ourselves too. Give us this verse back in NKJV. This is how he said it in our normal Bible. And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. But notice, everything was done in his name. Pastor, why did God work with them? He was honoring his name, not honoring them. For instance, he said, the donkey that Jesus rode to Jerusalem. After they finished that day, that donkey went back home. And he felt strange, the Lord of glory. So that donkey entered the donkey barn. And he said, you other donkeys, you never experienced that experience. I went to town today, and they were bowing before me. They were rolling on the floor. One said, are you a fool? It's not you that bow to, they're bowing to the person on top of you. You know, sometimes it was the reverend. You don't want to, it's not because of me. It's just because of the Lord. It's the Lord you are respecting, actually. So let's not get into thing that, you know, we are, is that, you know, you do name, the miracles occur. One man, I wish I can get back to him. Years ago, he got born again in our church. When he got born again, God started doing miracles in his life. So he said, I don't have to pray. I just pray small. God will do something for me. I told him, I said, but now I have an answer for him. God is honoring his name, but expect him to grow and mature too. It's not just only about getting toffee. You are not born to your father's family just to eat their food, but to grow and mature and become part of the family so you can represent them quite well. Does that make some sense? So let's go a step further. Now, if he said, I never knew you, what does that mean? Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 8, which we read. You know, repeating is tough, but it's safe. Let's go back there. Verse 3. 1 Corinthians 8, verse 3. Now, for years, that thing confused me. I never knew you. Jesus, you see, you never know them. You mean you never know me? You are the one who gave back. So that word, I never knew you, is a technical spiritual language, which means this. But if anyone loves God, this one is known. So how does God come to know you when you love him? When he loves you, you get saved. Fantastic. But he doesn't know you quite well. He doesn't know what you're going to do. But when you start loving him, like now, my wife, if my wife enters here now and carrying a cutlass, I know it's not for me. Maybe want to give it to the gardener somewhere. No. I love her. She loves me. She's not going to bash my head. Are you hearing me? See, does God know us like that too? You know, a lot of people talk about God loves me, but can God say to Namusu loves me? As I know you. Now, somebody said, Pastor, that's the problem. How do I know I love him? John 14, verse 15. If you love me, what do? Keep my commandments. Now, wait. It didn't say Moses' commandment. It said my commandment. So let's go a step further. What does it mean by that? Let's go to John 14, 21. That same chapter. He who has my commandment and keeps them. Now, I thought that word keeps just more than to do it. This is not to-do list. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. I do that. Tick, 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 tick. No. That word keeps means to embrace, to treasure. You have to have it before you can keep it. So you treasure it. You love it. You want to be around it. When you love something, you hang around it. It's on your thoughts all the time. It is he who loves me. Now, this is what I love about it. He who loves me, how do we love him? By having his commandment and keeping his commandment. He'll be loved by my Father. Oh, I thought God so loved the world. Yeah, that's true. But it's another higher love where you are loved by the Father. And I, take a look, I will love him. And I'll do what next? And manifest myself. Oh, yeah, I saw this years ago. It really helped me. Because I want to see Jesus manifest. I'm not going to see Jesus manifest in your life. I want to see God move in my life. So, they say, go to one holy, okay. Meet one man of God. You know, all that stuff. Read this kind of thing. Say this kind of thing. They're all over YouTube now. 12 o'clock, get up. Huh? Go to this particular mountain, you'll meet God there. If you sit on that chair of that man of God. But he said over here, he who has my commandment and keep them. It is he who loves me. And he who loves me, my Father will love him. And I will love him and manifest myself to him. And I must be a witness. I've seen that happen in my life. Every time I get serious with God's word and I follow him through and I make it my number one priority, I can tell you, God just doing things. Just happened 2 days ago. You know, I just told my wife, let's do this. Go do this. And something else was expecting that we don't know what will happen. When I asked her to move, that moment, they asked that thing must happen. If she was not there, well, would have missed that. See that kind of a thing? You know, I mean, you start living as if your life is on cue. You just start manifesting himself in your life. Even when you are wrong, he turn it right. Are you getting what I'm saying? Because he knows that you are frail, you have your issues, so maybe they are just taking care of things. I mean, that's when Christ was here, the disciples were having good time. Because wherever they were wrong, he would write it. Wherever they were right, he make it righter. Am I making what I'm saying? It makes life more beautiful. And one more thing is this. I just don't want to come to church and enjoy myself and go home and be miserable. I don't like that. I don't like you getting your eyes on me. I need help myself. You get what I'm saying? I want you to get your eyes on the Lord so that we can all be happy together. Am I making some sense? So that word manifest is my key word here. Manifest, manifest. He want to show himself in our life. Let's look at one, John 21. Let's take a look. When it's in John, they use a particular word over here. Let's look at that manifestation. If you can today, praise God. It was the last chapter in the book of John. And this is what he says. Take a look. Verse 1. After these things, Jesus showed, it's the same word for manifest. Jesus manifested himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias. And in this way, so we need to learn from this. This was after he rose from the dead, which he was talking about when he's going now. So Jesus will go physically, but in our lives, in our situations, circumstances, he start manifesting himself. We call it miracles, blessings, victory. Now, let's see how did he show himself to them. Look at next verse. Simon Peter, Thomas, called the twin, Nathaniel, Cana in Galilee, sons of Zebedee, and two others. That's seven people, right? Simon, 1, 2, Thomas, 3, Nathaniel, 2, sons of Zebedee, making 5, and 2 others. 7, how many left? 11, right? 11 disciples. Am I right? Judas had gone. So he got 11 of them, and 7 were together. Next verse. Then Simon Peter said to them, I'm going fishing. They said to him, we're going with you also. So they went out, immediately got into the boat, and that night they caught nothing. You know, you have ideas. Many of us have ideas. I won't travel. I won't do this. You know, a lot of people have jackpot. They come back and say, or they don't come back. And say, I never knew it was like this. Happened to all of us. You think that if you go that way, things will just work out. You may even work out plus other extra garbage. Everything in life has that kind of a thing. That's your dream car. after you got it, you find that the car, the fuel, it will use once. The other car you are using before will take 5 days. You got it. Yeah. So that's the way life is. Disciples said, you know, Peter said, I'll go fishing. And the rest said, let's accompany you. They were looking for a result, but they got nothing. Look at next verse. You're looking at Jesus manifesting. But when the morning had now come, Jesus stood on the shore. Yet, they knew it was Jesus. Wait, they were 3 years with Jesus. I told you at the beginning, sight won't do anymore now. Sight, just thinking, if I just see an angel, I'll be okay. You'll be okay. If you see Jesus, let me make you laugh. Years ago, when I was in school, one guy came to my room and was telling me how he saw Jesus. In fact, one time he saw Jesus with pattern, you know, cocoa pattern. He told me, I mean, I was not telling him because I mean, it looked like Jesus. I mean, we talked to him. So one day just came to my room and he said, life is difficult for him. He can't pay his school fees where he was. So that, you know, they said he was Jesus' man and he's so afraid, he's so doubtful. I said, wait, I thought he saw Jesus. Sight won't do it. Sight won't do it. They didn't know what Jesus. I'm telling you now, in this new dispensation, Jesus will not be physically Jesus like we see it. Peter knew him. They were with him. But after resurrection, it's no longer available to our sight. That's what I'm saying. We have to perceive him more than just our sight. So you can feel. How many of you, be honest with me? Sometimes you feel that your prayer is answered. There's no answer. Anybody like me over here? When you just you really pray, go, nothing. Sometimes you pray, just bounce and answer will come. Anybody here? You just pray dry, just happens. Some other one, you pray, you feel heaven move, Bob fall. it's not this kind of physical things. See, Jesus was there at the shore. Look at next verse. And he said this to them, manifesting Jesus. Then Jesus said to them, children, have you any food? They answered him, no. You know, when I talk about Jesus manifesting, I know you are thinking of going to the third heaven, seventh heaven, but he wants to manifest in our daily life, in our day-to-day struggles. Don't you like that? You know, I don't want a professor in my house. Remember, Professor Kennedy was telling us a story about a fisherman and a professor on the sea. And when they were on the water going, the prof said to the fisherman, what do you know? He said, huh? He said, you know anatomy? He said, no. You know physiology? He said, you know. Do you know embryology? Do you know ology? He must say, no. He said, You know nothing. So, while they were going on the sea, there was a storm. Everybody was feeling fidgety. The fisherman asked the prof, do you know semiology? The prof said, what's that? Is there sea on the other side? You know, you got all those big things. How about simple things of life? You know? So, what's about just manifesting? We don't mean that you're just going to start flying in the sky, go in the dream to the third world, come back like Tarzan or something, jump from house to house, Superman. No. Living normal life here and adding to it. But that's what he was doing when he was here. Am I right? Touching lives, going to a wedding, making the wedding water to wine, going to somebody who is having problems, Peter, mother, you know, just touching people, making life better. Just when Christ passed through your life, you feel happier. Am I right? That's what we're talking about. That's what we're about. Jesus manifesting himself. Let's keep reading. The answer, no. And he said to them, cast the net right side of the boat, and you'll find some. So they cast, and now, they were not able to draw it in because of the multitude of fish. So, amazingly, so he will be telling us things that if you take heed to, come on, about 12 hours in the night, they labored, they catch no fish. Just one utterance. Have you got any fish? No. Just throw your net to the right side. They did. And all the fish. That's the kind of life I want. What about you? That's the kind of life I want. Let's keep reading. And therefore, that disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, it's the Lord. He perceived it. Now, when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he put on his outer garment, for he had removed it, and plunged into the sea. Let's keep on reading. The other disciples came in the little boat, for they were not far from the land, about 200 cubits, dragging the net with them. So Peter jumped into the water, the leader that was walking on that, they couldn't catch anything. Somebody said, coming up. And then he jumped to the water, swam across, and they were dragging the net full of fish now, which they had not planned to have fish in about 30 or 40 minutes ago. May the Lord speed up your life and make things happen faster, better, greater than ever before in Jesus' name. Let's keep reading. Then as soon as they had come to land, now listen to this. This I want to see the Lord manifesting himself. This oh my, I wish everybody would enjoy this. As soon as they had come to land, wait, they walk all night. They must have been hungry. And if you're a fisherman, you have to get the fish home. The wife will cook now. You wait for the food. You are sleeping around the fire. But Jesus, fire of course there, and fish, where was the fish from? So he's like telling them, I can take care of you beyond what you can bring to your life. Yeah, I'm going to let you, I'm going to bless you, but you will only eat from your blessing. Are you hearing me? I saw one verse in Leviticus. Pastor, Leviticus, you know, recently I read Leviticus and I couldn't put it down. I was really enjoying it. Pastor, are you a butcher? But I saw a verse there about the year of Jubilee. Listen to this. Listen to this. God said to them, I want you to have 7 years. You have 7 years. 6 years, you will work your land. 7th year, don't do anything. Leave that land to grow by itself. Then he said, count 7 years of 7 years, making 49. He said, by the 49th year, don't cultivate your land. Don't go to farm. 49th year and 58th year, don't go to farm. Klamaje. You know what he said to them? He said, the harvest I will bring for you in your 49th year, 48th year, will be abundant enough to cover the 49th year, the 58th year that you don't plant, and the 51st year before the harvest will come in. I said, I like that. But not every year like that too. You know what I'm talking about? Just, and fish lay on it, and bread. Next verse. He said to them, bring some of the fish which you have just caught. May you enjoy more than what you have. Praise the Lord. You know, that's why we go on holiday. We want to enjoy the more we have. We enter the car, enjoy something, climb something that we didn't build. Are you hearing me? We end up praying that we can't buy in our own house with our own money, and we enjoy this kind of things. The Lord wants you to also have holy day, his own day in your life. And just think about it. They were sweating, they were cold, they were shivering. They got to the land. Here was Jesus waiting with bread. The Lord making breakfast. Say, and then bring some of the fish. Let's keep reading. I'm talking about Simon Peter went up, dragged the net to land, full of large fish, 153. And although there were so many, the net was. When Jesus was here, before the resurrection, the net broke. Am I right? The boat sank. This time around, post-resurrection is better. It won't destroy your life. It won't destroy your boat. This is what we call Jesus manifesting himself. Every one of us over here, please, can I say something over here? You are not called to live on somebody else in church. You know, sometimes we think it's just parable. So when you have money, give me. If you don't give me, you're not a good brother. No. He wants all of us to have enough sufficient for ourselves so we can bless the world around us. We are never called to feed off each other. That's not Christianity. That's not Christianity. He wants each one of us to rise up on his manifestation. Then he also knows that some of us, we are still struggling. And we have to struggle sometimes or the other. But he has never called us to perpetual struggle. We will have to struggle all our lives. We are not Lazarus. We are not the rich man. We are Abraham's seed. Can you clap your hands for Jesus, somebody? Hallelujah. We are Abraham's seed. We are Abraham's seed. Of course, tribulations will come. Of course. But you will see God. Like one of our sisters over here told you the story. She's even around today. You know, thieves went to her shop and they stole things in her shop. And so she came to church and she was just trusting God. She's just trusting God. My wife was talking about giving. Now, she just took her things in the shop. I mean, they just came. You know, I felt so bad. I remember we prayed. We prayed about those thieves, you know. And guess what? That day, she came to church. She was telling my wife, she took some of the money and that she had left and gave it to God. Just believe in Jesus. Do you know that something happened? They have been tracing one thief that have been stealing around. Then, I can't tell the story very well because he knows better. I'll ask her to come and tell it, but we don't want to tell it. And then they were tracing, and then they found certain goods with this person, husband and wife team of stealing. Serious. She had a solar, listen, she has a solar panel, solar kind of system that she used. You are the judge, man. Oh, yeah, because they said somebody that was, the case happened. So I got a witness. So I'm not lying. The person is here, but I don't want to. Should I tell them you are the one? Okay, we are looking at ourselves. Okay, all right. You know, so they took this solar system panel away. And then they start trying to find out who owns, the person who was a police officer that was handling that solar system was selling that kind of thing too, amazingly. And then knew that you find the name of the owner of this solar system on the solar. And then she pressed, the person is a Yoruba, the husband and wife team, thief, they are Yoruba. But when she pressed the name, an Igbo name came out. So she kept trying to call that number. But one day she got through the number. And then she called the number and she said, who is it? The man said, it's my wife. They stole her stuff. Oh, they now got a case now. They can lay down. And you know what? They went to their house. They found her rice, her gari, packed there with soft drinks. And amazingly, the police officer is a member of the church. And they didn't know her. They're just tracing things. That's Jesus manifesting. Do you know what they said about her around that area? Uti Shogun. She don't do juju for her shop. It's Jesus juju. God just working things out. Now, I have a news for you. If she never recovered that, God will give her more than that in whatever way. Am I making some sense today? That's Jesus manifesting. Net not breaking. Let's go on quickly. Our time is fast spent. And then, just to say to them, come and eat breakfast. Yet none of the disciples there asking, who are you? Know that it was the Lord. They know it's the only one who can take care of you like that. Sit you down, let you eat. I just wish, you know, in my younger days as a pastor, I used to wonder how people will cope. Oh God, why are they going to cope? She's like, they're alive. Oh yeah, like not my sister now. I was feeling for her. Lord God, what? The Lord said, I can take care of my own. Tell yourself, the Lord can take care of me. Hallelujah. He said, the Lord is my shepherd. I'm full of want. No. So we've seen manifesting himself. I can tell you more. But you know what? He won't only feed you. He will challenge you. Look at next verse. When they came, they took the bread, gave it to them, likewise the fish. And next verse. This is not the third time Jesus showed himself to his disciples after he was raised from the dead. Next verse. Then, when they had eaten breakfast, Ojeku Yudada said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me more than this? He said to him, yes, Lord. Know that I love you. He said to him, feed my lambs. Next verse. Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me? He said to him, yes, Lord. You know that I love you. He said to him, tend my sheep. Next verse. He said to him, third time, Simon. See, anytime we call him Simon, there's trouble. When we call him Peter, there's no problem. It's Simon. Something is up. Do you love me? Peter was grieved because he said it to him third time. You know what? Who can tell? Three times he denied the Lord. The Lord asked him, three times, you love me. Second time, you love me. It's just between him. You know, sometimes, you know, one time I was thinking about when we get to heaven, how will God make us see what was wrong with our life? Just don't know me that nobody else will see it between you and the Lord. See? Say, do you love me? Say, now, you don't see the trick. I wish I can show you this in the original language of Greek. It didn't say love like that. There are two words for love. There's the word love, agape, which means devoted. Then there's the word philo, which means friend. I like you. Christ was actually saying this. Do you agape me? And Peter was saying, I filio you. Honestly, check it up. Okay, give us an Amplified Classic. Maybe we'll find it there. Amplified Classic. Let's go to verse 17. Okay, verse 16. We'll see it there. Okay. Verse 15. When they had eaten, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these others do? With reasoning, intentional, spiritual devotion, as one loves the Father. He said to him, yes, Lord, you know that I love you, that I have deep, instinctive, personal affection for you as for a close friend. Said to him, feed my lambs. Next verse. Said to him again, second time, son of Jonah, do you love me with reasoning, intentional, spiritual devotion as one loves the Father? Said to him, yes, Lord, you know that I love you, that I have deep, instinctive, personal affection for you as for a close friend. Said to him, shepherd my tent. Just hold on there. You know what? You know, just did next. After agape, he just descended. And he joined Peter at his own language level. It will start from where you are. He didn't say, I said, agape me. You know, he descended. Look at next verse. So he came down, third time. Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me with a deep, instinctive, personal affection for me as for a close friend? So I come to your level. Any voice that harasses you in the morning, you're not a child of God because you are eating too much, because you don't listen to God. Look at your life. That's not the voice of Jesus. It will come to your level. Somebody came to me one day and said, Pastor, why is it that when something happened to us, even when we mess up and we come to you, you will say, okay, let's go from here, let's go further. He said, why do you do that? I said, okay, what should I do? Kill you? Huh? Tell you you are right off? Won't get anywhere. Huh? And you know why I can say that? Because that's what he does to me too. Sometimes I wake up like that, I've been very busy, I don't pray, get out of the house like you do. Everybody does that. Confess your sin. Or even I've not left the house, something just happened. I can get myself together. That ever happened to you, wait, your turn will come. Just something else, just, you know, and then I will remember maybe around 1 o'clock, oh God. And then I start feeling sorry for myself. I say, you can pray now. I just start praying. Sometimes I've had the Lord saying to me, I know you are busy, now just pray in tongues. That's all right. Whoa, that's good. You know, but this assuring, loving affection of the Lord cannot be quantified by anybody else. This is the difference between Islam, Buddhism, and Christianity. That is a voice of love in Christianity. That's the only voice of worship, servant, those other places. Praise the Lord. Have I made some sense today? So he said, if you have my commandment and keep them, you love me. And if you love me, I'll come to you and manifest myself to you. Back to John 14. Let's start rounding up. I'm sitting all through today. It's interesting. Auntie Osokoya said to my wife one time that one time I sat down and I thought better than ever before. Am I right, ma'am? So, but I love to roam all over the place. It's also a form of exercise, let me tell you. Let's go to John 14. John 14. Let's start finishing. Okay, beautiful. Verse 21, we read. Okay, let's read it again. He who has my commandment and keeps them, it is he who loves me. And he who loves me, loved by my Father, and I will love him, manifest myself to him. Next verse. Judas, not Iscariot, said to him, Lord, how is it that you will manifest yourself to us and not to the world? Now, this is very true. The Lord won't mess with the world. He will leave them until they come to him. So this is what we enjoy as Christians. This intimacy with the Lord, that we can talk to the Lord, we can spend time with him, and he can direct our life. He said, why is it that it's only for us Christians, not for the rest of the world? Next verse. Jesus answered and said to him, now follow closely. If anyone loves me, he will keep my word. Look at something. Just hold on. Give us verse 15. You're coming back here. Verse 15. If anyone loves me, if you love me, keep my commandment. Now go back to verse 23. If anyone loves me, they keep my word. So very simple. His commandment are his word. Did you hear that? His commandment, those words he speaks to us, they are his commandments. They are summoning us to live a kind of a life. And we must see it as a summon. as a commandment. Even when he just wishes for something, it's our command. He will keep my word, and my Father will do what? Oh, I love this one. And we, that's the Father and the Son, will come to him and make our home with him. Can I say something to you? Stop trying to go and look for God. Stop trying to travel somewhere to find God. Now, of course, you can go somewhere to be quieter, to spend time, but he's always around with you. He said, we will love him. Our Father will, if you just do this, if you start loving Jesus and start keeping his word and start trading with his word and read that word, the Father will love you and they will come stay with you. Can I challenge you with this? I saw this in my Bible years ago. It really blessed me. You know, when God came to Mount Sinai, there was a lot of storms and noise, and God called Moses up. Now, the next thing God said to him, said, I don't like this mountain. Build me a tabernacle with your own substances. They raised offerings. For the first time, Israel gave more than anybody else. The first time they obeyed God to the fullest. They had to tell them, stop giving. And they gave different things, and they built with their clothes, with their stuff, with their wood. They built a house for God in their midst. Now, this is the shocking thing. Now, God said, make it into three places, the outer courts, the holy place, and the most holy place. Then God said, put a box in the most holy place. Now listen, that box is called the Ark of the Covenant, you know that? And he said, put something there, the law, the tablet I gave you, that I wrote on the mountain, the tablet, Apple and Samsung, two of them. So God said, put that tablet inside that thing, which is the most holy place. Now listen, the most holy place, it's an ark. And what is in the ark? A book. The book of the law. That's what shocked the neighboring people around Israel. When you make your temple, you put image there. Big, lanky thing. Picture of all kinds of things. But when you come to God, there's no picture. There's only a book. Because our God is a God of learning. We're going to get brain. All he knows is carry cutlass. See, our God is a God of learning. When he came first time here, he was writing. So writing is not human invention. Thank God you went to school, you're better off. In that book, when they carry that book to warfare, they will win. Now, this is the shocking thing about it. Let's look at Leviticus 1:1, Leviticus. God said they should put something on the cover of that book. It's called what? Mercy seat, right? Come and see. Leviticus 1:1. After they finished building that tabernacle, they constructed it. And this is what happened. Verse 1. Now the Lord called to Moses and spoke to him from where? From the tabernacle of meeting. I can't find the verse right now, but I'll show you. God said, when you finish that, he spoke from that place. When you finish that ark, listen, he said, I will talk to you from the top of that ark. They put some cherubim like that over there. Then God, when Moses walks in, from that table where the book is underneath, God will speak from there. The reason why you don't hear God talking and leading you is because you don't read the book. He talks from the book. One of the greatest things in my life is when I sit down with my Bible, I will even remember the text I didn't answer 3 weeks ago that I should have answered. Things will come to me, things to say to people to help. You know, when you sit down with God on his book, he starts working with you. His words are so important to us. So he said, we will come to him and make our home with him. Back to it again, John 14:23. We will come to him and make our home with him. We will come to him and make our home with him. We will come to him and make our home with him. We will come to him and make our home with him. Oh, we are going to go to meet him one day. But he wants to be in our at home with us now. Praise God. Praise God. You know, I feel sorry today for Christians that are growing up today. Because they are taking from us assurance of our salvation. They're not allowing us, I'm talking about church as a whole, are not allowing us to. Someone say, pray that you make heaven. Pray that you will not miss on the last day. You know, those kind of things, they don't give us assurance. You know, we have children in the children's church over there now. Say, children, pray that your mommy will take you home. We don't do that. Do we? They are children. My wife was talking to somebody, high level hierarchy in the church. He said, this heaven, sir, I hope we make it too. That sounds like Ifa or Romila. That's not it. That's not it. Be sure that you are God's children. You know, Jesus, you know, Paul said, if they offer you another Jesus, another spirit, another gospel, you'll take it. Now, I have a news for you. How many of you are God's children here? You sure you're God's children? If somebody walking out and says it's Jesus, and they say all of you are not God's children, it's not Jesus. How can you say that? You never know. No. If you go tell your children, I'm not your daddy. Say, daddy, you are playing. I'm not. Daddy, are you playing? You grew up in this house now. Ah, you are daddy now. You know that can, today, that assurance is not there anymore because they want to secure us under their roof. That you have to rise to heaven on my back. Huh? We're all God's children. We're all God's children. He loves us. He cares about us. Even the weaker we are, the more attention he gives us. How many of us know we have children at home? The youngest one is the one that you give the food to, trying to encourage, am I right? And when they are sick, you don't knock them on the and throw them out. You want to be there for them. So this kind of Christianity today, right? We just have to go to church and do something. If you don't serve God, God will kill us. If you don't do something, yeah, I know we should serve God. I know we should. But we should not just be like servants. And by the way, look at children. Sometimes they don't do anything in the house. About 2-3 year old, 4 year old. Can I make you laugh? My wife is not around. I say this and say, they say, are you in this church? Are you in any group? I say, group care. Pastor Lemieux, I should be asking that question. But you know, it's not about group, it's about your father. And anybody who loves the father, you want to serve him. Am I right? Am I right? It's not just be that you know, you are this judge, you know, baptized before, no, baptism in our own, before you can make our heaven. I don't want to go to your heaven. I want to go to my father's heaven. You know, all these scary things. People are asking, Pastor, don't talk like this. If you talk like this, people will think that it is easy and it's not difficult. Or only go. No, my yoke is easy. My body is light. Clap your hands for Jesus. Pastor, a code will uncover you. They're teaching us to not to. I mean, let's have a father. It's there. Just cool. Amen. Amen. I know your trouble. Let me get outside and now you open your phone again. Cry that you make heaven. Oh, because somebody yesterday came back from death. He was in hell and he saw Bob Marley. What kind of picky God is that? Can you just imagine? You're traveling for something and they said, your shoe is not black. I'm going for exam. See, my shoe is not black. What can we do with exam? You know, and usually it's about women. Men will go to heaven. They don't wear something, they don't do something, they don't, you know, it's just, and actually I know where it's coming from. God said, I will set a meeting between you and the woman. So it's all about women, 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 and you just go after them. It's the devil's work. Men don't have a problem with dressing. But it's women. There was no use powder. Somebody said, you know, you should not beautify what God has. Then don't use soap, because you're beautifying what God has. Don't use toothpaste. They are not natural. They are not natural. You know, that's what he's thinking. You just wonder. I'm not attacking anybody. Just relax. It's been going on for years. You know, if you have Bob Marley, you will not make heaven. Bob Marley. Good answer, you know. Serious matters of life. Come on. Let's give our sisters liberty to live for Jesus. And not just be worrying about their head, something, you know. Let's stop. Let's have assurance that he's with us. He's making his home with us. You know, there's a pastor friend of mine in town that his home with Jesus so much beautiful that his in-laws will come and stay. I was told some time ago that the mother-in-law was running diabetes and sugar and hypertension. When she enters their house, she just get normal. She just get normal. When she goes, she runs everything, she comes back. That's the kind of home we like to be in. You just home full of love of God, Jesus, help. Hallelujah. Amen. Wow. Let's round up. John 14. So, 23. We'll come to him, make our home with him. This will be a difficult thing to do. So, we need help. Next verse. 24. He who does not love me does not keep my word. And the word which you hear is not mine, but the Father's who sent me. So what we are talking about over here is not just what we fabricated. Jesus is saying that, look, I'm not fabricating this up. This is what my Father actually wants. So we have, for the first time in human history, we have somebody who knows the mind of God, who is with the Father, the Son, from the beginning. And he's talking to us. This is not like Muhammad, who just 25 years old, was looking for God, married Adija, 40 years old widow, and then started seeking God, went to 1 month around Mecca, and was fasting and praying. And that night, angel Jubrail appeared to him and said, read. He said, I can't read. He said, write. And he said, listen to this. Alone will be man, and he can be. That God has no son. He doesn't begat. It's not begotten. And the angel said, it's angel Gabriel. But that same angel Gabriel, according to the Bible, went to Mary and said, you give her to the Son of the Highest. So they can't be the same angel Gabriel. By the way, somebody said, we are worshiping the same God. It can be. One is a father, one is not. It can be. You can't say, Anthony Moses is not a father, one am a father. So the one you are calling is not. I'm not fighting. Praise God. So we have a father. You know, Aisha is here. Aisha was telling me before she got born again, she was a Muslim, her father was Imam. But he said, he got to a point where certain depth of Islam as a female, you cannot get there. So she told herself, did I make myself female? But Jesus said, there's neither male nor female in Christ Jesus. Can you clap our hands for Jesus? Amen. Amen. So, this is true. But, to be honest with you, we have a hard time following this up. The whole system is against things like this. The whole system. So what do we do? Verse 25. Let's start closing this. We'll continue next week. These things I've spoken to you while being present with you. I'm going to go away. You won't hear this all the time. The whole system is against you. But, verse 26, but the helper. Let's close on that note. But the helper. Not the hindrance. The whole world is hindering you. But this one is bigger than the whole world. The helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name. He will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance what I said to you. That means that this word that is sending to us, that will help us love him and he will love us and manifest himself. This word is tedious, it's difficult. How do we know by ourselves? I send you a helper who will teach you. And not only teach you, will remind you. Don't you like that? My, I got Orijo. Praise God, somebody. I'm not just by myself alone now. I know what is in here. I may not sometimes know it. How many of you over here, sometimes you're going through something and then a word of God just flashed through your mind or something like that? Anybody like me here? You just come, appropriate word. He said, what do you do? He will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things. You know, Baba Adeboye, I had him years ago say something I don't forget in my life. He was studying his PhD, to get PhD mathematics. And he must solve at the same time 200 simultaneous equations. 200. When we are doing two, he didn't even pass. PhD. And he said for 6 months, he was struggling. So he said, one day after struggling for 6 months, he said, Lord, you said you teach me, you help me. I can't get this. And he said, overnight, he got the answer. What am I saying to you? You know, we don't have to get books on everything. We can't. I got books. Man, I got books. Several thousands. Not just only hard copy now, because I got, if you see, My store of books, I don't even know the books I have. I just keep putting them there. And can I confess to you? Timbati Kadia, my party. Another one is calling me again. You know, it's okay. I'm going to go check it. But I have the teacher inside me. Praise God. I have the teacher within me. Praise God. Before I finish all the books, I will have lived 25 lifetimes. Even, let's be honest, after I finished reading the book, I don't remember where I even underlined. I got so many bookmarks that I can't find where the bookmark that I want to see bookmark is. You know what I'm talking about? But it will teach us all things. Pastor, it's going to teach us. We have to be with the textbook. Pastor, I don't get any teaching because you don't sit down with this book. Today, I'll just talk today something it's been bugging me for years. Let me show you an example. 1 Timothy 2. Come and say something. Let me get this to you. Just evident. I said, whoa. I read the 1 Timothy. And I got to this verse that usually confused all of us. Paul was talking to women. If you look at verse 8, 1 Timothy 2, verse 8, give us, I desire therefore that the men pray everywhere. That's plural, right? That's plural. Am I right? The men. That's plural. Am I right? Okay. Now, he went to verse 9 now, and he says, in like manner also that the women adorn themselves. So, women, plural, right? Right? Then, verse 12. Sorry, verse 11. Or let's back up to verse 10. Let's back to verse 10. But which is proper for women professing godliness with good works? Now look at next verse. Let a woman learn in silence with all submission. Next verse. And I do not permit a woman to teach or to have authority over a man, but to be in silence. Not men, but a man, a woman. So you stop there. I never said that before. Then, what's the next? For Adam was formed first, then Eve. Then, and Adam was not deceived, but the woman being deceived fell into transgression. Uh-huh. Single Adam, single Eve. I said, Lord, this is sounding. So a woman should not teach a man. It's not a class. It's not church. Huh? It's marriage relationship. If you teach your husband all the time, you surrender. Talk about submission to your husband, your wife. But you know, I doubted that. I just held back. I said, is that really true? People are arguing on this. The next verse just said something that I've never seen before like that. Nevertheless, she'll be saved in childbearing. Where do we childbearing? In a home. I never seen that before. That childbearing, I always see childbearing, and I've been wondering what childbearing do there. And theologians have been arguing over whether this childbearing bearing Jesus' child. He said, if they continue, that is the word, if they continue. Now, I'm just amazed that he's talking about marriage, not talking about coming to one teaching church. A woman, a man. Oh, Pastor, it doesn't make any sense to me. You get here. Praise God. You see, a lot of things like that, I'll just see it. Particularly in practicing the word of God. Not just for knowledge now. If you have knowledge, you may not talk to him. But if you just want to practice the word of God, sometimes you look at the Bible and say, God, I've been doing it. You just read this again and say, oh, I didn't complete doing it. So what will he do? He will teach us all things. So women here, let God teach you about your marriage. Young men here, you are not married yet. How do you live your life? Of course, listen to those guys, listen to us. But of course, go back and ask God, teach me how to live my own single life. I will get different things to build my house, but it's my house I'm going to build. See this building, the blocks came from different places, but at the end of the day, it's our own building that we have to build, not their buildings. So whatever you get to put it together comes at the end of your personal life. No wonder I said this. 1 John 2, let's close with this. 1 John 2:27. Talking, John was the same John, talking about this now. John 20, 21st. 1 John 2:20. Give us, but you have an anointing, and enablement, the helper from the Holy One, and you know all things. Verse 27 now. But the anointing which you have received from him abides in you. How many of you know Benny Hinn? Everybody knows Benny Hinn. Benny Hinn, one day, was telling us, reading his Bible, he said he'd never seen that verse. He talked about anointing a lot. So he started questioning the anointing. He said, he asked Ora Robert, he said, how come these guys will be anointed, they will do healing, miracles, and they go back and do some stupid things? Moral stuff. Then, Ora Robert said, they know about the anointing on them to serve. They never know the anointing within to live as a child of God. Anointing can come on somebody to do the work and go away, but he said, receive from, abides in you, stays there. And look at, and you don't need that anyone teach you, but as the same anointing teaches you concerning all things, and it's true, it's not a lie. Do you know that sometimes you have to try and convince yourself to do what is wrong? You know what is wrong. I don't know that. Sometimes you hear things, you know, that's not true. That's not true. So that same anointing abides in you, it will teach you. Ask him, Lord, I'm just reporting at this duty. I'm just getting here. What do I do? Don't come with everything you have known. That you know that you know. Tomorrow you have never lived it before. How many of you have lived tomorrow before? You never lived tomorrow before. But we have a helper. Particularly, let me close like this, practical now. When you wake up in the morning, hand over your day to him. If you don't pray anything, I say, Lord, I present myself for adventure, for your life. What do you want me to do? And any difficult part of your life, on purpose, open your mouth and say, Lord, can we handle this together? Let us give our offering, get out of here. Hallelujah. Dear Father, we thank you. We bless you. We give you glory and honor. Thank you for this moment. Thank you for each one of us today. Thank you for the helper that has accompanied us home. Thank you that it's always with us. It's within us. Teach us things that make our lives better. Remind us what we have forgotten. And make Christ to be glorified in our lives. To you we give all the glory and all the praise. In Jesus' name. Amen. Praise God. Let's give our offering. Okay. Wow. Sat all through today. That's interesting. I'll get used to that more and more. Actually, they sit down to teach in the Bible and they stand up to preach. All right. Let's give and get out of here. We are in Romans 13 today, right? It's about authority of the government. I hope you have read it. Great. Okay. Beautiful. Yes. Then we go to tomorrow, 14:15. And next Sunday is joint service. 9 a.m. And there'll be refreshments, God willing. And we'll enjoy ourselves in the house. Not rice and stew. It's just refreshment. So we'll do that. So don't forget, 9 o'clock. First service is 9 o'clock. Third service, 11 o'clock, is 9 o'clock next Sunday. Don't forget. Hallelujah. Let's go home. Let's get up on our feet. Can you just close our eyes? Let's sing this song. I have a God who never fails. I have a God, as we go out, who never fails. I have a God who never fails. He never fails. He never fails. Amen, Jesus. Amen. Jesus never fails. And is with us. Amen. Jesus never fails. Amen. Jesus never fails. Jesus never fails. Jesus never fails. when we were singing, I saw someone that it's as if they brought a car to you and asked you to enter. And you are wondering, should I go to this new destination? Should I go and do this? Should I go and do that? The Lord said, I should tell you, I'm with you. That's what matters. Through the valleys and through the hills, I am with you. I'm with you. I'm with you. I'm with you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Somebody else here, you came to the service with a disappointment from somebody. God said, I should tell you, I'll make it up for you. I'll make it up for you. It's a disappointment, but God said, I'll make it up for you. Glory be to Jesus. Let's share the grace together. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, the fellowship of the Holy Spirit, be with us now forevermore. Amen. Surely, amen. Thank you for coming. Have a wonderful, wonderful night's rest.